As you know, we are exploring the attitudes that should characterize disciples of Jesus Christ, attitudes that disciples reveal because they're disciples. We've looked at five attitudes so far, the attitudes of humility, thankfulness, wonder, teachability, and last week we looked at the attitude of dependence. Today we're going to consider the attitude of optimism. Now, some of you will not be happy about that. That would make you a pessimist. But I read a true story the other day about a man named Brian who lives in Provo, Utah. Brian's day started off with a broken pipe in the apartment above his own, which resulted in his apartment being flooded. I can relate to him. Anyway, the manager of the apartments told Brian to go out and rent a wet vacuum so he could come back and vacuum up the water. But when he got out to his car, he discovered that he had a flat tire. So he went back into the apartment to call a friend for help. As he was on the phone, he was standing in water, which caused an electrical shock, which so startled Brian that he ripped the phone from the wall. Just then, his neighbor arrived trying to get into the apartment, but the water had so swelled the door that they had to kick the door down to get in. While all this was going on, Brian's car was stolen. Yes, even with a flat tire, but it was so low on gas that it had to be abandoned a few blocks away. So Brian went and fetched the car and then had to push it to the gas station to get gas. The same evening, Brian attended a military ceremony at Brigham Young University, and earlier he had tossed his bayonet, which would be used in the ceremony, into the front seat of his car. But when he got into his car, he forgot that he had put it there, so he sat on the bayonet, requiring several stitches. While gone, the wet plaster from Brian's apartment ceiling fell down on his four canaries, crushing them all to death. And finally, when Brian returned home, he slipped on the wet floor, badly injuring himself. Brian later said that at that point, he began to wonder if God wanted him dead, but kept missing. Now, we all have our fair share of bad days, but also some good days as well. But regardless of the percentage of good to bad or bad to good, disciples should be characterized by an attitude of optimism. Now, I'll tell you why in a moment. But optimism is a disposition or tendency to look on the more favorable side of events or conditions and to expect the most favorable outcome. Now, one can be a pessimist or an optimist under identical circumstances and conditions. One can be utterly pessimistic in the face of overwhelmingly positive circumstances, or one can be utterly optimistic in the face of what would be overwhelmingly positive circumstances. Pessimistic, sorry. You can be optimistic under horrible conditions or pessimistic under the most favorable conditions. It seems to me that there are three basic ways of approaching events or circumstances that are characterized by three types of people. Let me illustrate it, if I may, with a picnic. Three people are considering going on a picnic. The first is an optimist. The optimist says, "I'm really looking forward to the picnic today. It's going to be a great day. Sunny, warm, pleasant breeze, not a drop of rain." Now, the optimist hasn't heard the weather report, but he doesn't really care. You couldn't dissuade him anyway. The second person is a pessimist. He's convinced that the day will be horrible. The pessimist says, "My picnics are always ruined. It will probably rain today, or snow today, or be too hot today, or an asteroid will strike the park." The pessimist hasn't heard the weather report either, and he doesn't care. He already knows the weather will be bad. The third person we could call a realist, not artificially positive, nor unjustifiably negative. He's heard the weather report, and it's favorable, so he's hopeful. But if the weather report was unfavorable, he might be less inclined to go to the park and go on the picnic, or he might go either way. My suggestion is that true disciples of Jesus Christ should have an attitude of optimism. Not because they've been to some positive thinking seminar, or read a lot of self-help books, or learned how to do upbeat self-pep talk. I suggest that disciples should have an attitude of optimism because the circumstances are favorable for every disciple. We've heard the weather report, and it's very good. So for a few minutes, I want to give six reasons why every true disciple should have an attitude of optimism. And this applies to every true disciple, not to some special class of spiritually elite. The first reason a true disciple of Jesus Christ should have an attitude of optimism is that the question of our ultimate destiny has been settled. There are many important issues in life, many important matters that matter a great deal, but none of them is more important than our eternal destiny. That's why Jesus said, "What does it profit a person if he gain the whole world and yet in the process forfeit his own soul?" I read the other day that a Tampa-based treasure hunting company has found the wreck of the British ship Victory, which sank in the English Channel in 1744. It makes you wonder why a ship called Victory would have sank at all, but it did in 1744. And it's estimated that the ship may have been carrying as much as 4 tons of gold coins. Now, do you know how much 4 tons of gold coins is worth? I'll tell you, only $1 billion. Just a measly $1 billion. Well, Bill Gates is worth 58 times that much. And our federal government was considering a financial stimulus package of $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion. Now that is real money. But compared to the wealth of the entire world, it is nothing but chump change. It's to the world's wealth that Jesus compares the value of our ultimate future. The wealth of the entire world, he says, pales in comparison to the worth of an assured eternal destiny. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a true disciple who has said yes to his call to follow him, then you have assurance as solid as God's promise that your eternal destiny is a settled matter and it is secure. And if you have never made that commitment, the assurance can be yours if you make it. Because our eternal destiny as a true disciple is settled, we should have an attitude of optimism. Our most important and our most lasting need has already been met. A second reason we should have an attitude of optimism is because we're part of a movement that God has promised will never fail. Jesus promised his original disciples and future disciples that there is nothing that can withstand the progress nor prevent the victory of the church. There will be temporary setbacks, yes, but ultimate victory is assured. Jesus said not even death can stop the advance of the church. Death has already been taken care of. It has already been defeated forever. And as Jesus met his disciples on that last occasion, before he returned to heaven, he said that he would be with his disciples and all future disciples in their work until the very end of the age. Now, I don't know about you, but I like knowing that I'm on the winning side when the battle is being waged. It gives me an attitude of optimism, and it should give you one too. Third reason for optimism is that God redeems both the good and the bad in our lives. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Literally, this verse says, to the ones who love God, he works all things together unto good. Sometimes the things are good, and sometimes the things are not so good. But it doesn't matter, because God works within both the good and the bad circumstances to accomplish his divine purpose. He does this in the lives of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God's purpose for us is that we would be transformed into the image of Christ. His purpose is for our spiritual maturity. So, when things happen in the lives of disciples, good things or bad things, God takes those things and uses them to develop us into the people he desires us to be. This means that no matter what happens in our lives, we can be confident that God will use it to accomplish his good purposes in us. We don't have to fight against it. We just need to yield to his purpose. And that's what those who love God and are called according to his purpose actually do. Knowing God uses even the bad things in our lives to transform us into his desired image should cause us to have an attitude of optimism. The fourth reason true disciples should be optimistic is that God stands ready to forgive. Even when we fail, God stands ready to forgive us and to heal us and to encourage us and to equip us for tomorrow, no matter how many times we have failed before. All it requires is a recognition that we have failed and an admission that we have failed. Two of the most encouraging verses in the Bible both come from 1 John chapter 1, where it says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." These verses reveal two very important truths. The first one is that sin is inevitable. No matter how hard we fight against it, it's inevitable. As if I needed to tell you that. Second, though sin is inevitable, we have an advocate when we do sin. In fact, the advocate is the very one we have sinned against. But God is no wimp. He is just when he forgives, not sentimental. He forgives because he's already paid the penalty for the sin that we've committed. We need only profess and confess, and it's taken care of. Fifth reason I would suggest we should have an attitude of optimism is that we're surrounded by fellow travelers on the journey. As true disciples, we are surrounded by fellow travelers and inspired by those who've traveled the journey before us. That's why the second element of our mission statement is about community. We grow better and deeper when we are part of a community that's traveling in the same direction and on the same journey that we're on. None of us is as strong as all of us. That's why Solomon said, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up." We learn from each other. We are held accountable by each other. We are encouraged by each other. And we should be motivated by each other. Knowing that I'm not on the journey alone helps me make the journey. The last reason I will mention this morning, and of course, it's not the only, there are many more that could be cited, is that we have a source of truth by which to live. We have a reliable, trustworthy, practical source of spiritual truth to which we can anchor our lives. We don't have to speculate about what God has said. He has revealed it to us in His Word. We only need to read it and study it to know what He has said. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Word of God is useful for teaching, that is, what is right. The Word of God is useful for rebuking, that is, for what is not right. The Word of God is useful for correcting, that is, how to get right. And the Word of God is useful for training in righteousness, that is, how to stay right. So there we have six reasons why true disciples should have an attitude of optimism. Our eternal destiny is a settled matter. It's secure. We are part of a movement that can never fail. And no matter what happens, good or bad, God will redeem it and use it for our good and to accomplish His good purposes. God stands ready to forgive us, even when we fail. No matter how many times we fail, He stands ready to forgive us. And we are surrounded by fellow travelers and inspired by those who have traveled the journey before us. And we have a source of truth to which we can anchor our lives. I hope these six and the many that you have already discovered strengthen within you an attitude of optimism. True disciples of Jesus Christ should be the most optimistic people in the world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us so much for which we should be optimistic. Not as an exercise in positive thinking, but a reality that exists for us as true disciples. Things that you have done for us that the world seeks for their entire lives and never find. And yet we already have them. And they are assured. They are as constant and as reliable as you are. We pray, Lord, that you would give us this attitude, one that doesn't deny reality, but people that embrace it and realize how many good things you have given us and the wonderful promises that are ours to claim and the truth that you have given us to which we can anchor our lives. We're encouraged today by what your word declares. Teach us to be optimistic disciples. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.